We always have Bibles up front, so if anyone ever needs a Bible, we'd love for you to get one up front. If you need to take one with you, you don't have one, we'd love to have you receive that as a gift from our fellowship. We've been going in our discipleship living in the book of Acts. So if you're not familiar, if you went to our website, Discipleship Living gives you an opportunity to join over 250 others that receive a daily email as we study through the Bible together. God's mission for every generation, that's the idea behind the book of Acts, to make us more like Jesus. We want to read in Acts chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, "The former account I made," that would be the Gospel of Luke, "O Theophilus," by the way, that means lover of God, "of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs," unmistakable proofs, "being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning. It is a great day to rejoice. Thank you for the privilege of praying for men and women and boys and girls this day. Father, we have contended with the realities of life. Life on earth is hard. It's difficult. There are blessings. There are sufferings. We realize that. What makes heaven, heaven, is that it's free from the turmoil and pain of earth. Amen? And so we pray, God, that while we are here, that we'd be mindful of your purposes and we'd find from you all we need to live a life that glorifies you. Help us as we study your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we're looking here at God's mission, I love what Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29 say. I believe that it really summarizes the reason we come together as believers. Paul is saying, him we preach, that is Jesus, we preach, we proclaim, we bring the gospel. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And of course I know when the Bible is speaking every man, mankind, man and woman. So the purpose of the church in coming together is to bring forth the word of God, that we would learn the truths that we need to know to live a life that glorifies God and is very fulfilling for us. So the purpose of the church is to help us in this relationship with the Lord. Remember that this church, this body of believers, is not about rules and regulations. I think Josh McDowell said it in a way that I really appreciate. Rules and regulations without a relationship leads to rebellion. Rules and regulations without a relationship leads to rebellion. I know that's so true because I grew up in a religious system that had a lot to do with rules and regulations that were continually downloaded to me. They didn't use that term download in my day. They just said, you better do this. This is what you need to do. So I never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between believing and having a relationship, one that you're growing in and submitting to. Truly being born again is essential. So even though I believed in the Bible, I believed in Jesus, you could ask me the doctrinal questions of our faith, the virgin birth, death on the cross, risen from the dead, yes, 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 yes. I would be sound to that type of doctrinal statement, but I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again of the Spirit of God. See, there's a little bit of a distance from our head to our heart. And Jesus Christ is the one that reconciles that difference through his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, that we have a relationship with him. Paul would have been the one, if anyone in the world at that time would come to faith, Jesus Christ apprehended Paul. Paul said from the religious perspective, and we studied this on our mission trip in Galatians, but from a religious perspective, Paul said, there's none like me. I'm blameless. And they all knew that. And yet he didn't have a relationship with God. He wanted to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And he would go at all lengths to do that. Excuse me. I'm not choked up. I just had a tough travel day yesterday. It took over 18 hours getting back and through a lot of different situations. It takes about 6 hours to get back to the border. But flying back on the second leg on the plane, all of a sudden my ears just started hurting incredibly. I was crying in the corner of my little seat. I put my fingers in my ear just for the pain, and I was just hoping that the window could roll down because I just wanted to jump out. I mean, that's how painful it really was. And then I started to think about the little babies, you know, sometimes when they're flying and what they feel. It is real pain. It's really painful. It's severe. So today, I don't really hear myself too well, so I just look at JJ, and he'll go up, down. He's just keeping me. He's like my balance control today. He's a great guy. He just says, keep going. You're doing all right. So we're looking at this. And Paul, through his salvation with Christ, God is using him to help establish the church. And he's making it really clear what the church should be. The body of Christ is a place to train and equip, to help people know God, to be in love with God, to follow the things of God. So, for example, when Isaac and Tara speak about what's on their heart, what we do as a ministry is just come alongside. The ministry, if it is preparing and equipping, then we want to expect God to raise up men and women for the opportunities he's prepared for them. We're not anybody that would ever hold back. We'll be fully behind and supportive because as we do that, it's a blessing. Some people are changing jobs and they're finding a new open door of work, which is fantastic. It's great. And I believe as a believer, it's God that opens those doors up. I believe as a believer, God wants to put you in places that need the light of the truth, the light of the gospel. So not only will he provide work that'll be satisfying, work that you can excel in and enjoy, but I believe God supervises all of that, and he moves people around into places they need to be because there's influences of the love of God and the grace of God and salvation through Christ, and he is going to take each of us as we're trained and to move in those areas. The proof that every generation needs, what is that proof? Every generation, we should just look again at the verses we read, but there's living proof. The proof is that Christ literally died on a cross. He literally was buried and he literally rose again from the dead. It doesn't matter what anybody believes because anyone can believe whatever they want to believe, right? You can believe whatever you want to believe. But we're not exempt from the consequences of what we choose to believe. So Christianity has the proof that Christ has risen from the dead. He literally presented himself. It's not just from biblical sources, historical sources, secular sources speak about our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the proof we need. It's a proof that ministers to our hearts. So you're going through a difficult time. You're struggling. You're wondering, where is God at? I've prayed and I've sought and I've asked and nothing seems to be happening. And we go back to verses and we realize, okay, Lord, you are real. You conquered death. You rose from the dead. You're alive. You are God. You are Lord. Lord, I just look to you. Help me. This picture also was from the same place that Captain Matt was at, but this was my little perch in the morning. I found a nice little pulpit, and I took that picture and laid my Bible. So this is where I went every morning. Isn't that beautiful? And you just see the faithfulness of God each morning as the sun is rising. Now, the verses that we did not look at here, in verses 5 to 8, it speaks about the power for every generation. So what I'm speaking about today, it's cross-cultural. It goes anywhere and everywhere in the world. You know, there's a real emphasis on culture. A real emphasis, are you being culturally relevant? And this type of conversation has entered into the church. Not that we can't have these kinds of conversations, But I find it to be not very fruitful when a body of believers tries to design a ministry to be culturally relevant. I believe that if we are following Jesus Christ, if we're following him in the fullness of truth and of love, if we're laying our lives down, we're very relevant. We're very relevant because we're all made the same. It doesn't matter where you live or what part of the world you're in. We're all made the same. We're all made in the image of God with a desire to be redeemed by God. It's all the same. And you can be confident in that truth. So the power that every generation needs, you'll see in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what he's saying to us is that what God is calling us to do, we cannot do it just on good intentions. We can't do it just on a disciplined lifestyle. Not that those aren't good. I believe they are good. But without the Holy Spirit of God, there's going to be no fruitfulness. There's not going to be a great work of God because it'll be based on what you did. So if someone said, well, how did this happen? And if you say, well, I had a plan and I did this and I did that, I don't hear the name of the Lord. If I hear, I'm not sure how God wanted me to lead, how God wanted me to move forward. I'm not sure. So I prayed and I asked God for direction. And I believe that God led a couple of steps this way, and I was ready to continue on, and it seemed that he was moving this way, and I just was yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, asking for his help day by day. The power every generation needs is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, one of the things that concern me is within the body of Christ is there's absolute chaos when it comes to the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God in people's lives. What I'm saying is ministries will emphasize a very experiential aspect of the Holy Spirit. And it'll create, you know, response. It'll create activity because it's an appeal. It's an experience. It's an appeal. And many times it's appealing more to the flesh than to the spirit, but it's very deceptive because you're in a place like this, or many of them are a lot larger, and there's a Bible and there's someone presenting it. In my opinion, it's a human trying to work up people to some sort of place that he would love to see them worked up to. And then what happens is your heart, your soul, emotions, it gets nurtured on that kind of ministry and that kind of desire, which causes you to go from one hyped up session to the next hyped up session, which will begin to move away from biblical practices. So to unbiblical practices, and to think, well, you know what? That doesn't really matter. I've heard people say, you know what? Hey, pastor, I'm good with that. I just spit out the bones. And my response is, I don't give my people any bones to spit out. You give the pure word of God. What's this idea of I can give some other trash so you can just take what you want? No way. Give the pure word of God so you can take it in and be nourished and to be built up. So this power for every generation, I see the power of God demonstrated in many of your lives. Men and women that are just really caring for other people. You live very sacrificially. You're very mindful of other people. Wives that let their spouses go on a mission trip like we just did. Youth that went as well. Things that you do in your life. You see, when we're not willing to wash somebody else's feet, then I don't believe we've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I am more impressed by somebody caring for another person in the name of Jesus, and it could be in a very quiet and unknown way, than mass hysteria in a building. Because what's important is what's going to bear fruit. So what are you saying? Well, What I'm saying is we have living proof right here that Jesus Christ is real. Secondly, cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. But that power of the Holy Spirit isn't about me feeling great in chaotic in emotions. The power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, all men will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. Not the aerobics class on a Sunday service. Okay? Oh, a little quiet here. Let's move on. Okay. I'm just saying, things are getting, I pay attention maybe in areas that you don't have to pay any attention to, but there's a persuasion that's going on that is like, what in the world is happening? I've been in, the ministry for a believer for 35 years and about 30 as a pastor, 29. So I've seen things. There's a pattern. Things come, things go. The Bible speaks about the Spirit of God breathing in and out. So just remember, the Bible does not have hidden secrets that you need somebody to inform you of the hidden secrets. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God and make known to you what you need to know. The Bible isn't some sort of book that's got these strange codes that you got to figure out. It's the Word of God. It's alive. You nurture your soul with it. And you be encouraged with it. For us as a ministry, that's what we try to do, is to know, partake of the Lord. Find out. Let God speak to you. Let Him minister to you. Now, the next one is the promise for every generation needs. And that's in verses 9 through 11. In 9 through 11, and in verse 11, it says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the angels are looking, or the people are looking as Jesus ascends into heaven. He's leaving earth now. His work is accomplished. So after his death, burial, and resurrection, he was making appearances on earth for 40 days. And at the end of that, he ascends into heaven. They all see it. The angels are there. And he says, Christ is going to return. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. The way you saw him go, he will return. Has Christ come back yet today? Whoa. No. Christ isn't returned. Some say he has in some sort of mystical way. We have the Spirit of God within us, but Christ will return. And knowing that should cause us in every generation to say, I want to live in a way that makes a difference. I want to see God work in my life. I want to experience that power, not to be selfish or self-indulging, but to be a witness for the Lord. So prayer is something that every generation needs. Okay, quick quiz question. Where in the Bible does it ever speak about the first automobile in the Bible? Just trying to, change things up here a little bit. Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord, okay, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, his mother, Jesus, and with his brothers. What we see is prayer is a part of every generation. We can't do what God wants us to do without prayer. And the idea of one accord is a sense of unity and sharing prayer and being together and asking for prayer. By the way, we're so appreciative because we pass out a little bulletin postcard, but it's on one side. You can write whatever prayer request you have, or if you'd like us to contact you or whatever, put it in the offering box that's by the door. And we pray on Monday night, and we're happy to call you prior to that, just to know. You say, the prayer came in afterwards. Then just leave a message or text us. We want to pray for you. Every generation needs to pray. And then in chapter 2, there's a huge part that Peter is giving the very first message, the very first outreach, the very first message. It goes through the Old Testament. He's speaking to a Jewish audience regarding what is happening. These disciples are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they're able to speak in various languages. So the world has come together on the day of Pentecost from all different places. It's a feast day. It's a celebration, the day of Pentecost, 50 days. So the Lord allows a miraculous way for the church to be born. This is where the church is birthed, right here. The reason we're here today is because of what is going on in chapter 2. So there's a message that Peter gives, and just like we had an interpreter, you know, in our message, here, he didn't need an interpreter. The Holy Spirit took what he was saying and what the others were saying and allowed it to be heard in the very dialect of all those that were there. And what happened as a result of that, you'll notice in verse 32, part of the message, this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, now make your enemies your footstool. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know truly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I am confident that God is calling all of us. Jesus says, I wish that none would perish. So I believe God's calling all of us. Creation reveals the call of God. The cross reveals the call of God. Your very conscience reveals the call of God, because your conscience is given by God. It's a mechanism that tells you warning. It's like your car. You put the key in, you start it up, you don't put your seatbelt on right away, and you want to do something, like dismantle that noise. The Holy Spirit, you know, you're in a place, and the Holy Spirit is going, na, 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 na. And you have an opportunity to know if you want to respond to the voice of God. This great proof. Proclamation every generation needs. How are you saved? You believe Jesus Christ is a Savior. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He rose again from the dead. He's alive. You ask for repentance. Someone says, does that mean I do a 360? No, because you're still going in the same direction. You do a 180. You want to go the other way. Repentance means a change in direction. And then certainly you want to be baptized in water, not a means of salvation, but a means of a witness. Important point. And then in verse 39, our name is there. It says, for all who are afar off. We're here today because of Acts chapter 2. We're here today because of what happened in Acts chapter 2. And the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. It will not. It will not prevail against the church. Amen? Paul was the one that says, I'm taking you down. And Jesus says, no, I'm taking you down. And he did. So finally, it says, what's the purpose that every generation needs? And the purpose that every generation needs, it actually should be verses 40 to 47, but the purpose that every generation needs. What's the purpose that this generation needs? And with many other words, verse 40 of chapter 2, he testified and exhorted, he encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That day there was about 3,000 souls that were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Look at that. The word of God. They fellowshipped in the breaking of bread, communion, and in prayer. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. And they had all things in common, and they sold possessions and goods. They divided them amongst one another as they had need. Verse 46, continuing daily With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Every church growth program, in my opinion, throw it out. May it come through the work of the Holy Spirit of God and through your personal witnessing. Any man-made church growth program exalts man and not the Lord. Be a witness. Be a witness. Pray about those that the Lord may be putting in your life. Realize the significance. So, in summary, God's mission for every generation. I want to be more like Jesus. Pastor, what do I have to do? Believe. Pastor, do you got a lot of other stuff I can read? No, read the Bible. Right now, read the Bible. Right now, take his word in. But Pastor, I seem to be really failing, continually struggling with drugs, alcohol, sexual sins, in my business practices. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5, check it out later. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And God will do that. God is doing that. I am so thankful for his return. He's got everything in control. That allows me, knowing that, I can do what he asked me to do. Because he's got the future taken care of. He's got it all taken care of. He's going to take care of us. His gospel is absolutely key. Do not present a social gospel. Do not try to present Jesus Christ in a wonderfully accommodating way. The issue is sin, and he's the Savior who's redeemed us from sin. And so what we do many times is the sin is right there before us. It's right there. You're sinning. You're rebelling against God. I can say it because I know personally. So the issue is sin. Instead of just, you know, floating around it, the issue is sin. And ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive you. His blood will cleanse you. He'll make you right with God. And if you're right with God, you're right with others. There's no other way. There isn't. It's his gospel, his glorious gospel. And then finally, his church. This is his church. His church is the body of Christ. So whether we're in Mexico or here, one of the things that I want to make it really clear, there's nothing more spiritual about our trip to Mexico than you being here this morning. Neither of them, you know, weigh in like more important than any other. No way. I'm not certain, you know, but I don't think the Lord up above is looking down at all the geographical lines that we've established. I think he's looking at men and women that he loves and is calling to himself. So the reality is that we're always on a mission trip. When we're able to get away to a location, it helps us gain perspective maybe in our lives. It helps us to humble ourselves, how grateful we are for what God is doing in our lives. But you're his church, and his church exists around the world. I had people praying for us in France and in China, in Tibet, in the Philippines with Wayne there, and many, many people were praying, and God was a great encouragement. So your commitment, well, what is your commitment to the greatest work on earth? The greatest work on earth is to be more like Jesus. If we're more like Jesus, great things will happen. Make his mission your mission. All right? Amen? Amen. We're going to have one more worship song. Let's stand for that song. As you're standing, I'd like to pray. Father, we're grateful to be together today. So grateful to see the men and women and boys and girls in Beshevana, Lord, and being in their fellowship and not understanding one bit of the message. But the Spirit of God was ministering to my heart how much he loves these people, how much he loves our fellowship, for God so loved the world. And I was able to see the passion they had for Jesus. So truly, what we're talking about is very real. If you've been really straying away from the Word of God and from prayer, if you're no longer really concerned about the lost, if the generation below you is not hearing from you about the greatness of God, you might want to think that through. You might want to yourself visit the grace of God and the purposes God has for your life. Lord, may we glorify you in all that we do. We want your mission to be ours. In Jesus' name, amen.